Right now we're talking with Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, the Illinois Democrat from the 8th Congressional District. Congressman, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Hey, John. Good. How are you doing?
What's the thought from you, and what are you hearing as a member of Congress about what's happening in Ukraine?
I think this was a premeditated, savage, unprovoked attack on a sovereign, peaceful country. And what I'm hearing from everyone I talk to is we have to stand with the Ukrainians. We have to make sure that they have what it takes to repel this assault. And, you know, what we've learned from history, John, is that ruthless authoritarian dictators like Putin don't just stop at one country's borders. They go on and on. And so we have to make sure that we stand with the Ukrainians.
I think a lot of us are hoping that whatever happens in Ukraine stays in Ukraine. You don't think this is the end of his expansive attitude right now?
He has his eyes on Poland, the Baltic states, and other places. And as you know, Poland and the Baltic states are members of NATO. He has long chafed at those countries being a part of NATO. And I think that he's the type that, you know, he only respects strength and force. He's a bully. And we have to stand up to him.
Did we or Western Europe make a mistake? How is it that this has happened?
Well, I think that Mr. Putin has a maniacal obsession with Ukraine. He believes that Ukraine is part of Russia or should be a part of Russia. And so I don't think the West has made a mistake as much as perhaps they underestimated the degree to which Putin would go to basically secure his vision of a united Ukraine with Russia. I mean, Putin is trying to topple the government, John. I think our prayers and thoughts are with the people of Ukraine as well as his leadership and Zelensky, President Zelensky, who I hope is safe. But they are going after all of them right now as we speak. And we have to do everything we can to repel this assault.
I was wondering about that, Congressman. That is, I kind of can visualize what an assault looks like. I can turn on the TV and watch it. But then do they come in and overthrow the parliament or absorb them with their own rules, regulations, laws? Do they then strip the resources out? I mean, I wonder how life, I wonder what Putin or Ukrainians imagine life will be like in that country going forward.
I think the Ukrainians will stand and fight, John. I think that there will be an insurgency if the government is toppled and the Russians put a puppet government in place or take over or annex pieces of Ukraine or all of the above. There are about 2.5 million men of military age who are ready to be called up into the Ukrainian military. I would not be surprised if they are being called up as we speak. And these folks are tough. They're going to fight, and we need to help them. And I have introduced legislation with Republican Mike Turner on this very point, that we have to train, equip, and support this insurgency, assess our ability to do so, and get ready to do so.
Do you imagine a scenario where we actually fight with the Ukrainians?
No, I don't think that we will be deploying troops to Ukraine. Our constituents and the American people don't want that. And I think it would be unnecessarily escalatory and provocative, but we can do a lot to shore up their ability to fight. And we are doing that now. And, you know, working with our NATO allies, we'll do more. We'll also be increasing the sanctions, hopefully dramatically at this point. I think that there are a number of steps that the president is probably going to take later today. And I'm looking forward to seeing those things put in place.
President's going to speak at 11:30 our time, and we'll carry that live here on WGN Radio, of course. I wonder, they describe them as these tranches of things that we can do. This round of retaliation, and then another round of things we can do diplomatically or electronically or banking-wise, but I don't know why we don't just use every single resource we have shy of our troops. Why are we rolling these things out? Why don't we this morning at 8 a.m. say no banking, no commerce, no oil or gas purchases, et cetera, et cetera?
I think you're going to see a lot of this happen today. My supposition on this is they are, A, coordinating with the allies to try to do the same across a number of countries simultaneously, and then B, preparing for any blowback from Putin himself. You know, Putin commands an army of cyber gangs who at his behest, commit cyber crimes, from ransomware attacks to denial of service attacks to other types of attacks. And he himself, within the GRU, which is a military intelligence unit in the Russian military, they conduct cyber attacks on a scale of such as shutting down the power grid of a country and so forth. And so given all of those capabilities that he has, I think it's probably prudent to just prepare for everything and to send the appropriate messages and warning signals beforehand so that everybody knows exactly what's happening.
Hmm. China said they'll still do business with Russia. What should we do about that?
Well, there's going to be secondary sanctions, I would imagine. So let me just back up. My guess is that we're probably going to be sanctioning more of the banking system in Russia. Those would be called primary sanctions. We'll probably kill off, or I think we should, hopefully we will sanction the Nord Stream pipeline directly. But we might also start to sanction those who do business with the Russians. And I think that we just have to see how he structures them, but that's why I think it's taking just a little bit of time to coordinate with the countries that we do business with and so forth.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we're all outraged, rightly so, but then they say, okay, but it's going to cost you. And then you say, well, China makes everything, and China's going to do business with Russia. So one way to say it would be, okay, then we have to stop doing business with China, but we can't do that. So there's a little hypocrisy there, or at least our outrage doesn't seem to be as deep as our interest is in our own economic well-being.
I think it's balancing competing demands, right? I think you're correct. On the one hand, we need to do what it takes to repel Putin, but at the same time, there are other concerns that we have to balance as well. Including our economic security and those of our allies, and make sure that Putin doesn't somehow win the battle of wills, in the sense that he senses insecurity on our part and views it as an invitation for even more aggression, John. Mm-hmm. This is a man who will stop at nothing to enlarge his Russian empire. He's done it in Georgia. He has Kazakhstan and Belarus under his thumb, now Ukraine. We have to expect that he'll do more if he's not stopped.
You just have a minute and a half left, Congressman. I think it was Mitch McConnell yesterday who said that the Biden administration handling of the pullout in Afghanistan is the sort of fumbling that emboldens somebody like Putin. I hope that our Congress will be unified in the support of the U.S. and international efforts on this.
I totally agree. And I think that that will happen, and it should happen. I think all freedom-loving people, Democrats and Republicans, will stand behind Ukraine. I hope that nobody signals to Putin that no other people besides Donald Trump signal to Putin that his moves were quote-unquote genius or savvy. I think that talk is really unacceptable. We have to stand up to Putin, and we have to do it in a unified fashion.
from Illinois' 8th Congressional District, Democrat Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Okay, Congressman, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, John.